It's time for some fresh air. So start packing, put on some sunscreen, and grab your favorite walking stick. This is WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Here's your host, Steve Scafidi.
Welcome to WTMJ Outdoors. Always love talking about everything outdoors, from biking to rock climbing. So I talked about the Burka Binder in a recent episode, and you name it. But we're going to talk a lot about hunting, because as this show airs, this episode is the start of the archery bow season for deer in Wisconsin. Who better to talk to? I think he's an expert, subject matter expert. It's Paul Smith from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who writes all things outdoors. Hey, Paul.
Steve, hello. Great to speak with you again.
Always awesome to talk to you, especially this time of year. But I have to say, because I was reading the Journal Sentinel recently, you recently won an award for your great work covering the outdoors. Tell us what that was.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Steve. I am a member of the Outdoor Writers Association of America. So it's the oldest and largest outdoor writers organization in the nation, founded in 1927. So it'll be having its 100th year get-together next year in Madison, Wisconsin, by the way. And this year I traveled to Chattanooga, Tennessee for their annual convention, and I did receive an award called their Enduring Excellence Award. You could consider it sort of a recognition of a career body of work type of thing. And so I was very humbled and grateful. It's sort of a, pinnacle of a career of work. And I was, the man who actually introduced me and presented me with the award was Dan Small.
Oh, yeah.
Many people, your listeners would know, as the longtime host of Outdoor Wisconsin show, and Dan is also a member of the OWAA. So he presented it to me. We had a great crowd there. I got a standing ovation, Steve.
Wow.
And so I got, and I want to say I only remember getting two in my life. Now, one was at my wedding. You know, it's a tradition at many weddings the groom and bride will walk into a room, everybody stands back. I don't know if I really earned that one. I mean, it's that one, as nice as it was. And an older gentleman at my wedding reception told me that day, 28 years ago, he just said, "Hey, Paul, don't get used to it."
That's good life advice.
It's a good advice. I never got used to it, but the folks, my peers at OWA, gave me one, so I was very honored. I told them that same story, certainly have not gotten. Don't expect it, but it's very much appreciated. So thanks for mentioning it, I'm committed to keeping this job, and keep doing this work in the outdoors. Another thing I mentioned was my colleagues at the Journal Sentinel. We have people who cover the Packers full time.
Oh yeah,
Badgers, sports for the Bucks, Brewers, full time, and I have tremendous respect for them. However, this job is the only one I want, and I consider what we cover in the outdoors, topics that you include on your store, on your show, Steve. These are real life. These are not ball sports, as much as I love ball sports. This is the outdoors, and I really think that this is the real life stories and issues, and that it's the only area that I really want to work in. So I feel privileged and honored by this award.
Yeah, and I've said before, I think you're one of the best at what you do. And the award means two things. One, enduring excellence is a good description. Also, Paul, it means you're old.
No doubt about it.
Which there's nothing we can do about, because the alternative is not very good either. So nothing we can do about that.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, as we sort of celebrate the start, and we'll do a whole segment on deer season. There's always a safety element to hunting, and I know that you wanted to focus on one in particular, and that has to do with something I'm very familiar with. For my first 35 years of deer hunting, I hunted in the same tree stand on our family's property. I don't do that anymore. What's the latest on that, and what's the sort of directives coming out about how to be safe while you're hunting from tree stands?
With the archery season starting today with your show airing, there'll be many people climbing up in trees. Steve, you mentioned age just recently, and when I started hunting in Wisconsin in the 70s, deer hunting, it was not legal to use tree stands.
Right.
They weren't legal. So it now almost every deer hunter uses some elevated platform to hunt deer. It's become very common. So if you're in tree stand safety is probably the single most important safety aspect of the bow season, certainly. So people should use a lifeline when they go up and down. You know, the products available to help us keep safe are just amazingly good. So you can buy products that basically are fit on you like a vest and attached to a rope and help you ascend and descend safely. So everyone should really use one. If they don't, they should look into it and get one. And that's number one. And then number two is be conscious of what trees you, if you're putting a new stand up, be conscious. The DNR put a nice advisory out this year to look for ash trees because so many of them are dead or dying with emerald ash borer. So be conscious of the tree that you're putting a stand up in. Or if you've got one that's been up many years, I know many of the properties I hunt, we have stands in there, but they've been up for 10, 15 years. Take a look at it and make sure that not only is the tree still sound, but also all of your straps and other things related to the stand are in good shape.
Yeah, and so, I'll add this as someone who hunted in a tree, as someone who hunted in a tree stand for a long time. The reason I don't hunt in a tree stand anymore is there were so many tree falls or leaning trees in that area. I didn't feel safe anymore. And that's something. So absolutely pay attention to your surroundings when you get into the woods and what it looks like, not just in the tree that you're attaching to or going up in, but the ones around you. Paul Smith, our guest, great reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Outdoors is a specialty. He's the outdoor editor at the Journal Sentinel. We'll take a quick break here on WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors. Our guest today, Paul Smith, outstanding outdoors editor at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. All right, so we got archery season, bow season as they call it. We got gun deer season. What are some of the big things that people are talking about? What's the buzz in the States about our favorite pastime when it comes to hunting? And that is gun and archery deer seasons.
You know, Steve, we've had 2 mild winters in a row. So deer population in the northern part of the state, where if we're going to have any winter kill or effects from, you know, the cold and snow, it's typically in the northern third or so of our state. Very rarely does a winter get so severe that deer in our agricultural areas, for instance, are affected. So we've had a couple of so the deer population is on the increase. And people are talking about seeing more deer in many places. And that creates an excitement, of course. And places I tend to hunt, you know, being a native of southeastern Wisconsin and now a resident, we don't have to travel that far, Steve, for the bull season.
Right.
You know, there's plenty of good places to hunt in the outlying areas of Milwaukee and anywhere in what's termed the central or southern farmland regions of Wisconsin, but also northern Wisconsin. It's just not necessary to drive 3 hours to hunt. And when I was a kid growing up, we would drive to Marinette County. You know, it was about a 5-hour drive at that time to go deer hunting because that's where more deer were. That's completely changed in our course of my lifetime. It's switched where now we have more deer in the southern part of the state. So I think, you know, many of your listeners, if they're longtime deer hunters, they already have a place or they know where they're going. But if you have any new listeners or new hunters, it's really you don't have to travel that far to have some of the best deer hunting in the state, and that's really in the agricultural areas that have a woodlot or a swamp near a farm can be just perfect, great places to hunt deer.
I was curious if you are hearing the conversation we used to hear a lot about, and that's the impact of wolves. Is that still being talked about as far as reducing the number of deer that are out in the woods?
Sure. Yep. Yeah. It is talked about a lot. And, you know, people who've hunted the North, and I have, I try to write a different story each year for the opening of gun deer season so I get around the state. And so I've been in deer camps and talked to people and have friends who hunt there every year in the North. Wolves are, you know, primarily found in the North, the Northern forest region and the Central forest region. And we have a population of the latest estimate was done several years ago now, because last year the DNR did not come up with an estimate, but somewhere north of 1,000 wolves, and that's at the low point. That's late winter when the wolf population is at its lowest, is when they get an estimate. It roughly doubles, according to wolf researchers, when the pups are born, and then it starts to decline. But so let's say we have 1,000, 2,000 wolves in Wisconsin, and they eat deer. That's their primary prey species. But when the winters are mild, like we've had the last two winters, that's tougher on wolves, you know, that when the deer are in better condition, they can evade wolves. So, but to your question, yes, people talk about wolves. Wolves have an impact on deer. It's not one of the leading impacts simply because their numbers aren't that high. You know, we have 25,000 roughly bears in the state, and bears eat deer fawns primarily. And bobcats and coyotes will also kill deer. So there's a lot of predators out there that do impact, you know, that prey on deer. Hunters typically take more deer than any of the predators, any of those predator species. And then there's natural causes like winters and and also other mortality factors like getting struck by a car. But overall, deer are in pretty good shape, even with this strong wolf population we have.
One of the big questions I always get is about CWD, chronic wasting disease, and impact on the herd, what's being done, the testing. Just cover that quickly for our audience, because that's always something that should be stressed, and I hope that hunters pay attention to it.
Yeah, I do, Steve. I pay attention to it, and I follow the guidelines that are put out by health experts and professionals and our DNR. And it's going to eventually be found statewide. It's just this slowly spreading disease that it's not a virus. It's a protein. It's a misfolded protein called a prion that it can live in, or it can sustain itself in the soil and get picked up or be spread animal to animal. And it's really, I think that the evidence now is showing it's impossible to eradicate from the wild. So it's going to be with us. It fortunately has not been found to cause any human illness yet. So that's good news. It also hasn't spread to livestock, like, say, cows in Wisconsin. That would be another nightmare scenario. So it's a disease of deer and elk, and none of our elk in Wisconsin, wild elk, have been found with it, but primarily deer, and primarily in southern Wisconsin. So the advice is, if you're hunting in an area where CWD is found, to get your deer tested. It's free. And then the health experts say if it comes back positive, to not eat meat from that animal. So that's the health. Now, many people don't, follow that advice, and, you know, that's on their own. It's a recommendation. But I do, and I wait until I get the results. It takes about a week and a half recently to get the results back. I butcher my own deer and save it. So that's what I do. And I've had one positive in my hunting life, and that was a deer in Richland County. And it's a painful thing, but I threw the meat away, which is what's recommended. So, but people should be aware of CWD and not fear it, because right now there's been no case of a human catching it. But continue to stay up on the latest news. Their studies continue to go on about it, and I mostly hunt in areas where it's found, so I test all my deer.
Here's Paul Smith, the greatest and the latest from him on deer season, archery and bow, and award-winning. Now we can put that in your title as well. Paul, we'll talk to you when we get closer to gun deer season, and we could probably tell the story of how you and I are going to connect during that gun deer season. It's sort of a fun story. Always enjoy the conversation. Thanks for coming on WTMJ Outdoors.
Thank you, Steve.
You're listening to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors. It's that time of year again as we, the hunters, we head out to the woods. And for a lot of hunters, that means the beginning of archery crossbow bow season, as they say. And who better to talk to than Dan Chowicki from Southeastern Wisconsin Bow Hunters. Welcome to WTMJ Outdoors, Dan.
Yeah, thanks very much. Happy to be here.
So as we approach another season, what's on your mind as a bow hunter? What are you thinking about as you head to the woods?
Well, first of all, any hunter recognizes this cool fall air that has suddenly come upon us. I mean, summer's great. We love it. But those first cool mornings brings the anticipation of the hunt. And I have to say, I'm excited. You know, I'll be 68 years old on opening of bow season. And I still get them like a 10-year-old kid at Christmas. You know, it's great.
That is the funny thing. You never lose that. I think if you're a hunter, regardless of how much you hunt, it's like always that thrill of going out there. And I'm with you on the weather. It's sort of that natural wake-up call that says, hey, you know, it's that time of year again. So as a bow hunter, walk us through your experience, where you're going, what you're looking for, what you're trying to do.
So, I mean, I have a farm near Mondovi that I've had for quite a long time, and my daughter hunts there with me. She bow hunts with me. But, you know, I have this lifelong core group of friends that it's sort of like a gathering on these different events. And so, yeah, there'll be a group of us that'll be up there bow hunting. And it's, you know, at this stage, I guess for a lot of people, certainly including me, it's not really about the harvest as it is the participation and the camaraderie and being back in deer camp. You know, I mean, summer's great, but it's time to get back in deer camp.
I thought about that the other day because I talked to Paul Smith earlier, and you know, the excitement of deer camp is interesting, but a lot of people have never experienced that. So I have, and you have. For someone who hasn't gone through that, just walk people through what that feels like, because it is sort of a unique gathering. You mentioned old friends. I still hunt with my dad, who's 89 years old. That's yeah. Part of this experience.
Well, it really is, and we laugh about it when I talk to non-hunters or different people, and it's like we get up way before daylight. And not that we need to. Some of the places, like, we'll walk to some of our stands from our house, but it's like, you always got to check the weather. Which way is the wind blowing? What is the temperature? How are we going to dress? Where are you going to sit? And it's all these same rhetorical questions that get asked every morning over coffee. And it's just about bonding and being with your friends and experiencing something that is just so pure and honest and joyful, I guess.
As somebody who works with a lot of other bow hunters through your organization, what are some of the things you want people to know about safe bow hunting? Safety is a big thing, and we do pretty well in Wisconsin. We keep our hunters safe. That's something we're always thinking about.
Well, for sure. And, you know, for many, many years, like, believe it or not, there used to be a time when it was not legal to hunt out of trees. You had to be on the ground. Now, it's a long, long time ago. You know, then we got to a point where people had, you know, screw-in steps and hang-on and boards nailed in the tree, et cetera. And, like, on my property now, like, we've evolved completely into ladder stands, you know. And so that's what we use, which I think is one of the safest ways to go. But even in addition to that, a safety harness. I mean, absolutely have to have a safety harness. There's nobody that I allow to hunt without one. You know, it's just getting in and out of the stand can be a dangerous situation, and you don't want to turn, you know, a hobby and a passion, you know, into something that's crippling, you know. And so it's safety. And for deer hunting with a bow in particular, You know, that's probably one of the most important parts.
One of the things that those of us who hunt in the gun deer season, we check out our weapons, our firearms. We probably practice shoot. We go to a range or we go to our land. On the bow side of the things, are you guys going out and you're practicing and getting ready for the accuracy part of this to take down a deer?
You know, it's funny because a lot of people haven't heard the term or don't recognize it. But, you know, you talk about the magical flight of the arrow, if you will. And to me, shooting a bow is just, and I shoot, I shoot a compound bow, but a conventional bow. It is so much fun. And then up in our deer camp, there's a 3D deer target in the front yard that everybody shoots at, you know, in different ranges. But, you know, it's just again, fun with a group of people to get together and shoot and hone your skills. And to be honest, like my daughter shoots like a 32-pound compound. So you don't have to shoot heavy weight. And with the new bows and the advances in archery, with a few key points and a couple key training sessions, you can shoot really accurately. Now, you're not going to be shooting 50, 60, 70 yards, but most of our bow shots are under 20 yards, mm-hmm. you know. And my daughter has been very successful, you know, shooting a bow of that light poundage, you know. And but, yeah, I mean, practicing is fun. And it's fun to shoot at targets, and it's fun to be with your friends and friendly competition. I mean, it's all good.
Tell folks about your organization, what you do, and how they can find out more about it.
Sure. So it's the Southeast Wisconsin chapter, a bow chapter of Safari Club International. So in the state of Wisconsin here, we've got five chapters. There's the original one, which was the Wisconsin chapter. There's a Badgerland chapter, a Northeast chapter, the bow chapter. And then there's another Lake Superior chapter, which is sort of half between Minnesota and half in Wisconsin. But the bow chapter is primarily intended to, you know, introduce people to the bow hunting sport and bow shooting. We donate a lot of money to schools in a Learn to Hunt program and an archery in schools program. We donate, you know, there's a number of schools that have archery as a club sport, and we donate the bows, we donate the arrows, we donate the targets, you know, and it's all about exposing people to what we consider to be just one of the greatest sports in the world, and honest and ethical, and, you know, harvesting meat that's about as, you know, as good as you can get, and just introducing people to the sport.
Do you have a website people can go to?
Yeah, SCIWI Bow Chapter, and if you literally just Google Southeast Wisconsin Bow Chapter, it'll come right up. Our Facebook page will come right up and everything, and you'll see everything about us.
Dan Trewicki, always enjoy the conversations. We'll check back as we move through the bow season. I wish you luck in the woods, safety in the woods, and certainly enjoy deer camp, because that is one of the highlights for everybody that hunts.
It's like being a 10-year-old at Christmas every single year.
I'm in my 60s, too. I appreciate it, each and every one of these things. And I remember all of them going all the way back to when I was a teenager.
I'm telling you, it's a lot of fun, and I look forward to it immensely.
Thanks for joining WTMJ Outdoors. Lots more to come on the program. You're listening, of course, to 620 WTMJ.
Back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited. I know that the Burka Binder, Berkey as we like to fondly call it in Wisconsin, is a long ways off yet. It's only September. That's way out in the... When is that exactly, my guest, Sean Connolly? When is that, Berkey?
Yeah, it'll be the end of February. So it's the last weekend of February. So it's everything, all the cross-country skiers around Wisconsin, the Midwest, the world even, look forward to that weekend. And this year, it is the 2026 American Burka Binder. It'll be held on February 22nd. But it's a whole week of events that starts on February 18th.
And there's a whole lot happening in your neck of the woods before that. And let's give you the formal introduction. Sean Connolly, Marketing Director for the American Burka Binder Ski Foundation. Welcome to WTMJ Outdoors.
Yeah, my absolute pleasure to be on here. Thank you for having me.
All right, so those of us who follow the Berkey, I have friends who have raced in it, and that whole thing, that scene is amazing out there in the Cable and Hayward area, Mount Telemark. That's just a cool thing. That's next year. You guys actually do, that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on, you do a ton of stuff before that, there's running events, there's fat bike events. So let's walk through, people, as we go into September. What are some of the things coming up?
So coming up September 27th, we have our Berkey Trail Run. It's seven different events, everything from a 5K to a marathon, marathon relays. It's a great way, whether you're like a seasoned runner or, you know, you're seeking to conquer like new frontiers, or you're just a nature enthusiast and wants to get out there. We also have a nice 9-mile trek that people can just do with poles if you're not into competing. But it's kind of like our kickoff to fall, really, because you get up there, the fall colors are starting to turn at the end of September. Well, actually, they'll be more than starting to turn. They'll be pretty well turned by then. So it's a great way to experience the Berkey Trails and get out there for a trail run. It's a whole trail running festival. It's brought to you by Rossignol this year. So Rossignol's actually launching some trail running shoes, so they'll have some of those up there for you to try out. So it's just a cool weekend of running. It also just so happens to be the Cable Fall Fest weekend, too, which is where the Berkey starts in Cable and then goes down to Hayward. So it's just a great way to experience fall and the outdoors up in northern Wisconsin. So highly suggest coming on up for that one. And then if you're more of a biker, the trails are open all the time. For your listeners who may not know, you know, the American Birkebeiner owns 700 acres.
Wow.
So we call Mount Telemark Village. We have 16 miles of mountain biking gravity trails that go down from the top of Mount Telemark. You can ride those all year round. But coming up on October 11th, we have an enduro race. An enduro is for those who are looking for kind of like a gravity challenge where it'll kind of take you downhill and you see how fast you can do each run. So it's from a little bit more of an experienced rider, but I would come on out and experience the trails whenever you want to, and then come on out and kind of experience this event, because you can really kind of see how like mountain bikers take it to the next level when they go out for this enduro event. So that's coming up Saturday, October 11th. So like you mentioned, so many great events all year round. But we're kind of getting to the end of that mountain biking skiing season, and then we start transitioning into our winter season. Then coming up in November, we have what we call our Turkey Berkey. That's kind of our official kickoff to winter.
Okay, I got to know what that is. Turkey Berkey. First of all, clever little nickname there.
Yeah, it's cute. Yeah, but affectionately called the Turkey Berkey because it is the weekend of Thanksgiving. So as long as we have the cold, fingers crossed, which the Farmer's Almanac just came out, I think last week, said we're going to have a pretty cold and snowy winter, which we could really use after the last two winters, knock on wood. So this Turkey Berkey is a really great event because it's as long as we have the cold, we'll have our snow machines on. The second it starts getting below zero, freezing overnight, we'll turn on our snow machines. So by Turkey Berkey weekend, by Thanksgiving weekend, we'll generally have at least a 5K loop that people can come out and ski. So maybe if some areas of Wisconsin might not have enough snow near you, come on up and see us in Cable in Hayward, Wisconsin. You can get some great trails of man-made snow that we start making, like I said, as soon as it gets cold enough. So that really leads us into ski season, and then we're off and running. And then come December, we have a really cool youth competition called Get Your Gammy Games throughout January. Then we also have, again, like you mentioned before, we have our fat biking in January. We have a women's fat biking event to come on out and get coached and have a whole weekend of learning how to fat bike and just kind of camaraderie.
You guys have the premier event in North America, right?
Oh, it's awesome. It's called the Fat Bike Berkey. It's really cool. So the Fat Bike Berkey is actually, it's always the weekend after Berkey. And it's one of the most premier events in the country because fat bikers get to bike the world famous Berkey Trail. So after skiers get their turn on the trail, they get the really nice stuff because skiers need, you know, they need a little bit of a nicer grooming. But then after they get off the trail, then the fat bikers get to go on and experience the Berkey Trail. So yeah, it's a great premier event, which is really, really cool.
Sean Connolly joining us from Hayward, Wisconsin, a part of the American Birkebeier Ski Foundation. He's a marketing director. We're going to take a quick break here, Sean. After the break, I want to talk about the Berkey because so much of the conversation in the last decade or so has been about weather and how you can't predict the weather, but I think the folks at the Berkey have sort of figured things out and certainly have done a great job presenting that event. We'll dig deeper on that and a lot more with Sean Connolly, my guest on WTMJ Outdoors. Take a quick break here. Lots more to get to. We'll do it after this on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors. I talked in the first segment to Sean Connolly, marketing director at the American Birkebeier Ski Foundation. A lot of the fall events, and let's focus on the Berkey. A lot of people that listen to WTMJ Outdoors, they learn things about our history in Wisconsin, and this event, I think, goes back, Sean, to 1973. Is that right?
That is accurate, yeah. And, you know, it depends on how far in the history you want to go. This thing goes back to about 1206, technically.
Right.
American Berkey.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Not technically in America, But it's based off of an old Norwegian tradition where a prince was rescued during a civil war and he was skied to safety by these warriors. So that's why we call everyone who does the Birki, they're Birki warriors. They're people who went out there, made the challenge, took on these Birkebeiner Hills. Tony Wise, who started the Birki in 1973, he came back from World War II, took this idea, and brought it to the hills of Wisconsin.
Give folks who don't know, because they've maybe heard about it, but they don't know the specifics, sort of an overview, 10,000 feet, if you like, on what this is. And it is the premier event, certainly, when you're talking about that ski racing. Tell folks about it.
So it is a 53-kilometer cross-country ski race from Cable, Wisconsin to Hayward, Wisconsin. 53 kilometers, around 30 miles. So it takes place every year. We're going to our 52nd year. It's absolutely incredible. And people do this race well into their 70s, even 80s. We had a gentleman in our 50th year complete every single race. His name is Ernie St. Germain. He's a living legend, and he's done every race from 1973 all the way up through 2004, and then he retired in 2004. So people make this a lifetime sport. We call them our Birki warriors because they stay in shape year-round just so they can do this race. It's so cool to see. So it's a huge celebration of cross-country skiing in northern Wisconsin, and it's actually North America's largest cross-country ski race. It's the third largest cross-country ski race in the world. It's part of a circuit of races all around the world. One race from each country of these 19 countries. It's called a World Lopet. And people can come out and they can ski these races all over the world. They ski the best race in each country, and they do the whole circuit, and they call them World Lopet Masters. It's really incredible.
Hey, I want to give you a couple of chances to tell people how they can find out about all events you talked about, and certainly the Birki. How can folks find you?
100%. Birki.com, B-I-R-K-I-E. That's the short term for Birkebeiner. But Birki.com, that's where you can find all of our running stuff, ski stuff. It's updated almost hourly with the amount of stuff that we have going on up there. But it's just a great time up in the Northwoods. When you come visit us in the fall for some running or some biking, or you come on out when the snow starts flying, I'm telling you, you're going to have a great time in the Wisconsin Northwoods.
You're talking about the snow, and we're talking to Sean Connolly, Marketing Director for American Birkebeiner Ski Foundation. It's always challenging whenever you're talking about winter events. You've done a lot with that, and your races and your other events have sort of figured things out. Sort of talk behind the scenes. How have you been able to sort of manage what have been some tough conditions?
Yeah, so over the past 2 years, we've had some really close run-ins. Like last year, we got very close to having an abbreviated race, but we got just the right amount of snow, just the right amount of time to be able to cover the entire course. Again, we're talking 30 miles of wooded trail between Cable, Wisconsin and Hayward, Wisconsin. So if there's rough patches, you know, we sometimes it's hard to get snowmaking out to those areas, right? So we've really got to rely on Mother Nature. Then in 2024, that was just a horrible year for snow, right?
Yeah.
So we actually stockpiled it. Whenever it got cold enough, we turned on our snow machines. We made giant snow piles. They call them Nordic whales. So we made these giant Nordic whales and then pushed that snow out onto a 10-kilometer course on our property and some of the adjoining property, which is an old golf course. So we've been able to really adapt. And one thing we can say with confidence is that as long as we have the cold, we will have an American Birkebeiner. It may not be the Cable to Hayward course that we all know and love. We try to do that as much as we can, but we need Mother Nature's help for that one. But we'll always have some sort of Birki, whether it's a looped course, up in Cable, Wisconsin, there's always something that we're going to be able to do. As long as we get that cold, we'll be able to make that snow. And that's through amazing, generous donations we have from a lot of our ski community all over the world that helps us build our snowmaking infrastructure.
You know, you've talked about the popularity of the event, but it is, as you said, one of those signature events in the world. And just the number of people that come from other places, I know you've probably keep lists of these people and who they are, but around the world, the best skiers come here for this event.
100%. They really do. Actually, what I was just mentioning in 2024, when we had that circle course, that 10-kilometer looped course, people love that because the World Cup was actually in Minneapolis that previous weekend. So we had even more skiers that were world class that were doing the World Cup said, yeah, we'll come over and do the Birki. So people come from all over the world. They make this a destination. And they say, like, man, small town Wisconsin, there's nothing like it, because you come over the final leg of the race, go down Main Street in Hayward. The entire Main Street is lined with thousands of people cheering them on. There's nothing like that in any of these other courses, like I mentioned, around the world. There's 19 other races that you can do. And we've had multiple people from all over the world tell us there's nothing like finishing in downtown Hayward, Wisconsin.
For all the friends of mine that have participated in this event for years, they always look forward to it, and they train for it. They do all kinds of things. And I'm somebody who's been in that area a lot, that part of the state, northwest part of the state, for fishing and golfing. Never been much of a skier, but it is something. It's a spectacle to watch and participate in. So I want to participate in. I want to give people a chance one more time. How can they find out about all the great events from the Fat Bike event, the Turkey Burkey, and all the running events you were talking about? And, of course, American Burka Binder. How can they find out?
Yes, absolutely. Burkey.com. Burkie, Burkey.com. That's where you can learn everything. And you mentioned fishing. What's really great, the one before you hit Main Street, you actually go across to Frozen Lake to do the race. So if you want to come up and ice fish, you can have skiers skiing right by you as you ice fish on the lake. It's a great time. I'm telling you, it's northern Wisconsin all in one little region. It's amazing.
I love that. I love the energy you have for what you do. Sean Connolly, Marketing Director for the American Burka Binder Ski Foundation. Thanks for the passion. Thanks for putting on these great events. And thanks for joining WTMJ Outdoors.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Lots more to come. WTMJ Outdoors presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited right here on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Country roads,
take me home. Thanks for listening to WTMJ Outdoors as we celebrate everything outdoors, recreation, hunting, fishing, you name it. We cover it all on this program every Saturday here on 620 WTMJ. As I always say, if you have a topic or a guest idea, suggestion, if you're a resort owner, a fishing guide, a hunting guide, whatever, you can email me at steve.scafidi, 2Fs1D at WTMJ.com. Always welcome your suggestions. Many of the guests that we've had on the program in the first 3 months have been from your ideas, so always welcome those. Great show today. We start with Paul Smith from the Journal Sentinel Outdoors Editor, award-winning now, as we talked about, on all things deer hunting. Obviously, bow season now underway in Wisconsin, and the weather has cooled, as our guests were talking about. So Paul led us through all of that and a little bit on safety, which is always something paramount in my mind and every hunter's mind as we hit the woods across the state of Wisconsin and beyond. And then we talked to Dan Chiewicki, the bow side of things. It's the beginning of the archery and crossbow season in Wisconsin. And as the head of an organization that sort of works on behalf of bow hunters, Southeastern Wisconsin chapter. So many people who don't hunt have never experienced what that feels like. And it's not just the hunt itself. That's very cool, thrilling. Your adrenaline is pumped and you're excited when you harvest a deer. And there's then the deer camp or those great get-togethers, whether it's family, friends, neighbors, whatever it is. That's also a key part of this. So that is something that we're always going to talk about on this show. As I said, if you have an idea, steve.scafidi, 2Fs1D at WTMJ.com. And we wrapped it up with a rather interesting conversation. A lot of people know the American Burka Binder as a great ski events, cross-country ski events in northwestern Wisconsin. But as Sean Connolly, marketing director for that organization, told us, there's a whole lot more happening in that part of the states, whether it's the fat bike races, which is one of the premier events in North America, whether it's all of their trail running, which if you've ever been out there to that part of the states, it is spectacular. It's gorgeous, especially as you start looking to the fall. The colors are changing. You'd see, they have something called a Turkey Burkey, which I think is amazing. So all these cool things are happening in that part of the state. Hayward to Cable. Exciting things happening in WTMJ Outdoors. Always appreciate the listen. We'll do it again next week. You're listening, of course, to 620 WTMJ.